beloved. We are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, Oklahoma, which this week enacted one of the most intolerant and repressive rules we have seen yet, even rivaling those coming out of the bigotopia of Florida. Governor Kevin Stitt signed a law prohibiting the use of non-binary genders on state birth certificates, the first law of its kind in the country. This means enlightened parents in Oklahoma are now coerced into choosing either male or female for their baby based on their outsides, even if that child is none of the above on the inside. Just when we thought we'd finally won the right to look at a child's body and deny what we saw, and instead peer into their soul to discern how they feel about that body. As the fourth doctrine of sexual inversion teaches us, sexual identity is not what body you're born with, it's what body you wish you were born with. And since the sixth doctrine of sexual inversion teaches us that all sexualities are justified by the fact that we're born with them, we can deduce what every third grader learns in gender re-education catechism, that is, Pericles' fourth grand inference. Children are often born with the wrong bodies, which you can tell by looking at their bodies. And since the almighty intangible only grants parents, not doctors or nurses, the ability to see with their third eye the infant's true body and therefore gender identity, only those parents should be allowed to select other when certifying the blessed infant. Oh, Oklahoma, how little you understand about biology. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, naming children with their father's surname. After the thought influencers of the Constitutional Court of Italy this week ruled that the current law requiring babies to be given their father's surname was, quote, discriminatory and harmful to the identity of a child. In striking down the law, the court noted that the Constitution of Italy prohibits any prevalence of the masculine over the feminine, which means there must never be a preference for the surname of one parent over the other. And since both parents' surnames must be honored in the naming of children born into wedlock, the court now concludes that hyphenated names are mandatory under penalty of law. If only America could be so enlightened. Imagine the beauty of Martin Rossi and Geneva Colombo giving birth to Maria Rossi Colombo, who then marries the son of Giuseppe Romano and Anna Bianchi. His name? Luigi Romano Bianchi. When they have a son, he could well be named Roberto Rossi Colombo Romano Bianchi. And when he marries Aurora Greco Ferrari Esposito Berlusconi, their daughter could very well be named Valentina Rossi Colombo Romano Bianchi Greco Ferrari Esposito Berlusconi, just as God intended. Moreover, it will now be easy to identify the most progressive members of Italian society based on the number of surnames they have, proving the longevity of their family's enlightenment. And as expected, this affirms Archibald's sixth elemental maxim of wokeness, which, as we all know, states, the more complex a practice, the more likely it is to be correct. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, we want to take a moment to celebrate the brave and groundbreaking work being done every day by Akihiko Kondo of Japan, who this week gained international attention to the legitimacy of fictosexuality, or love of fictional characters. As a man who has fallen in love with and married the 16-year-old computer-generated pop sensation Hatsune Miku, Akihiko finds himself in dire straits. His own family refuses to acknowledge the legitimacy of his relationship with the digital superstar and her turquoise anime hair. Such a classic story of the older generation's bigots refusing to see that you cannot choose whom you love because the heart wants what the heart wants. As a powerful advocate for fictosexuals everywhere, Akihiko declares that he knew from a very early age that he was not attracted to blondes or to brunettes or even to redheads with physical bodies, but he was born to love blue-haired beauties that only have pixels for ponytails. Now, some, okay, may dispute that any person could be born this way, but given the amount of pain, othering, and ridicule that Akihiko has endured, can anyone doubt that his sexuality is an inborn characteristic and not a choice? I mean, who would choose such a lifestyle? And yet, despite being treated badly for the simple act of carrying around a life-size representation of his beloved for comfort, Akihiko stands in the gap for thousands of fictosexuals just like him who have fallen in love with digital vixens. As our denomination is truly open, inclusive, and embracing of all sexualities and identities, the weirder the better, we want to say to Akihiko and Hatsune, bravo and welcome. You are hereby affirmed. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Wish I could see.